Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we stand here this morning, we stand in the presence of Almighty God, the one who never changes, the one who was and is and evermore shall be, the God of life, the God of all power, the God of the miraculous. Help us this morning, Lord, to learn that healthy churches are churches that expect you to do supernatural things in their midst when we place our faith in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning you and I have something to celebrate. The last 5 weeks we have looked at one verse in Acts 2, just one. And this morning we're graduating to the second. Yay. It always amazes me how unique the Bible is, how much life it has, and how deep its teachings are. It just goes to show you that the more you study and meditate upon the Word of God, the more that the Lord will reveal to you. You could read these few verses over and over again and not really see anything at all. But when the Lord shows something to you, His Word provides everything that we need to face the future. As you know, we have looked at the importance, the vital importance of basing everything that we do around here upon the words of God, upon the Bible. All of our decisions for both our lives and in the life of this congregation need to come from God's Word. Then we looked at what true Christian fellowship is, and that is having all that we do centered around Jesus. And last week we looked at the vital importance of corporate prayer. So when you put these things together, what do you get? When we stand firmly upon the Word of God, when we come together in true Christian fellowship, and when we stand in unity in corporate prayer, we can truly expect God to show up and do some amazing supernatural things in our midst. And that's exactly what we see going on in verse 43 of Acts chapter 2. There it says, Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. The early church knew something that all of us should know. God's supernatural power is released when we attempt the impossible. We all know that God is the creator and the sustainer of the universe. You and I stand here today, or I'm standing, you're sitting, before the Lord who commands all power and all authority and determines the course of everything in history. All that has been, all that is, and all that will be is all because of Him. So if you and I want to experience power in and through our congregation, we need to seek God as the only source of that power. All the activities that we could do as a church, such as prayer meetings, committee meetings, Bible studies, and even times of worship, will ultimately be unfruitful if we're doing them in our own strength. It is only those churches that boldly rely on the Holy Spirit's power who will see God at work in their midst. Simply put, God has all the power. And the Lord reveals Himself in the Scriptures as all-powerful. In fact, this is one of the most common attributes of God expressed throughout the Old Testament, especially in the book of Psalms. For example, Psalm 77, verse 14 says, "You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples." From a theological point of view, and theology is nothing more than the study of God, as if we can really study Him, there are three areas in which God's power is seen to be very, very different than the limited power of human beings. First, God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. Only the Lord knows everything. That's in stark contrast to you and me, although I've met a few people who think they know everything. But God is the only one who truly does. You and I can only make decisions based upon the knowledge that we have at the time. But when the Lord acts, He does so perfectly, based upon His perfect knowledge of the future, our present circumstances, our motives, our attitudes, and even the future. Hebrews 4:3 tells us, nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before His eyes, the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Secondly, God is all-powerful. He is omnipotent. As most of you have probably figured out, at least in some time of your life, we can be limited when it comes to what we can do. We may have some strength to do things with the gifts that the Lord has given us, but it's the Lord's power that is unlimited and unending. Psalm 66, verse 7 tells us, He rules forever by His power. Third, the Lord is all-present. He is omnipresent. It is just amazing how the Lord can be in all places at all times. Wow, that just boggles the mind. God is everywhere, at the same time throughout the universe and in the heavenly realms beyond. The Psalm 139 says, Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. With all His power and might, isn't it a good thing that we serve a good God? Could you imagine that kind of power in the hands of someone who wasn't good? Even our own world history proves that power in the hands of people can be unpredictable at best and destructive at its worst. But you and I can be confident that God always uses His power for the good of those who love Him and serve Him. Exodus 15:11 tells us, Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? So you may be sitting here this morning saying, Well, that's all wonderful. But if we can, how can we access God's power? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because that is the next part of the sermon. And it is something that we have to understand, because the reality is we need God's power in our midst. It is a part of what makes any church healthy. And you know what happens to healthy churches? They grow in faith, in grace, and in numbers. In the New Testament, there was someone we all know who exercised the power of God by performing miracles and teaching with authority. Do you remember who that was? It was none other than our Lord and Savior, God in the flesh, Jesus. When we read the Gospels, we see how people were amazed at what Jesus was doing. For example, in the Gospel of Mark 1:27, we are told that the people were all so amazed that they asked each other, What is this? A new teaching? And with such authority? He even gives orders and impure spirits come out and they obey Him. These people had never seen anyone else teach and act like Jesus did. They hadn't seen the power of God manifest in such powerful ways before. The sick were healed. The multitudes were fed. And the dead were raised to life. But then Jesus did something even more unusual and amazing. He started transferring His power to His followers. I find it amazing to know that God wants to share His power with us. And I'm not making this up. In Luke 9, verses 1 to 2, when Jesus had called the 12 together, He gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure all diseases. And He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Instead of keeping all of that power to Himself, Jesus gave His followers His authority. So in any kind of ministry, we have to remember that when Jesus sends us out, we go based on His authority, not our own. That means that you and I can do anything that the Lord tells us to do, even if we think it's impossible. Those Jesus gave His authority to in the New Testament were His followers. They were the ambassadors of God's kingdom. And the good news for you and for me this morning is that all followers of Jesus have this authority as we represent Jesus to the world around us. But not only did Jesus give His followers His authority, He also gave them His power. These early believers that we read about in the Gospels could perform miracles in Jesus' name and by His power. But these examples during the earthly ministry of Jesus were really only temporary flashes of power. Jesus told His disciples that He was going to give them something even better, a permanent source of power through the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world." This new power source was the Holy Spirit, whose story is told in the book of Acts. In fact, the subtitle of the book of Acts should be "The Acts of the Holy Spirit" and not "The Acts of the Apostles." And the good news is that we should, or we should be at least living out the book of Acts today. True followers of Jesus have His power. And every church that wants to be healthy will focus and expect this power. Not only do we have access to God's power, but the truth is that God expects us to use His power. The Greek word used in Acts 1:8 for the power Jesus said that believers would receive is dunamis. This word is often translated as the root for the English word dynamite. But as you know, dynamite is only a flash of power, and then the dust settles and it's all over. A more preferable word is dynamo, which describes a never-ending, self-generating source of power. And that is the power that you and I have at our disposal as followers of Jesus. But as with anything when it comes to the Lord, there are some things that are required of us before we can expect the Lord to do supernatural things in our midst. When accessing God's power, we need to remember that God's power is released by faith. Faith is the key that unlocks the power of Almighty God. And remember, faith isn't something that you agree with in your head. That's belief. Faith is getting out of the boat and moving forward by standing on God's promises from His Word. Promises that as we exercise our faith, God will do the miraculous. Some people say, "Well, I'll have faith when I see God do some amazing things." But that isn't the way it works. Faith comes first. It is not miracles that generate faith, but faith that generates miracles. It is only by faith in the mighty power of God that congregations can achieve the impossible. And very often the Lord uses these to build up His church. And He will ask us at times to do some things that just seem to be impossible. It could be to raise enough money to do a new outreach, start a feeding program, build a couple churches in Haiti, or bring in some Syrian refugees, or many other things that we just can't do in our own strength. The Lord expects big things from us. Why? Because we represent Him to the world around us. And very often when God wants us to do something wonderful, He begins with difficulty. And when He wants us to do something spectacular, He begins with an impossibility. So it's important that we ask ourselves, When was the last time that we attempted something that was impossible to do in our own strength? When was the last time we truly stepped out of the boat in faith, expecting, wholeheartedly expecting the Lord to do amazing supernatural things? If we can't say all the time, then we have not been fully relying on God's power. And now is the time to start. I think that all of us want a healthy, power-filled church, not an unhealthy, weak one. So we have to operate in faith, because using our faith is what pleases the Lord. As Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. In faithless, unhealthy, and weak congregations, people don't rely on God's power for basically two reasons. The first is that they don't really trust God. They trust themselves more. And secondly, they don't want God's will to be done. They want to do things their own way. If the members of a congregation do not trust God or do not want God's will, they will be a part of a very unhealthy church. A church where God will not show up in power, and a church which God can never grow. So it's really important that we exercise our faith. And when we exercise our faith, we trust God to do what only God can do. We trust Him to do what is best for us, and to do those things that will bring Him the honor and the glory. This morning, we need to remember that our power is limited, and our vision for ministry is sometimes very small. However, great faith greatly pleases God, and when He sees our faith, He will do great and amazing things. And the good news is that we don't have to muster up our faith, because even our faith is a gift from God. But our faith can be strengthened by remembering our previous experiences when God has moved in our midst before. Remember the story of David? He had the faith to slay Goliath only because God had given him the ability to slay the bear and the wolf in the past. He knew that the Lord, who had shown up miraculously in the past, would show up again in the present. As you and I face the future and face the obstacles that we have to face, we should remember that the obstacles that the Lord has helped us to deal with in the past, we should take those to heart. And that will increase our faith to help us to receive even greater miracles. Faith also grows within us as we read, as we believe, and as we speak out the word of God in our lives. Romans 10:17 tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it is important for us to remember that healthy churches will stand firmly on the word of God and declare God's promises when it comes to the mountains that face them. But unhealthy churches will try and come up with all of the answers themselves. But you know what? Those answers will never come, because God will never let others get the glory for doing what only He can do. So God's power is released through faith. And we will see God's power when we attempt the impossible. Scripture says that we must act in faith before we see any results. This is the reward mentioned in Hebrews 11:6 for faith. And there are examples throughout the Bible. The Israelites, they had to enter the Red Sea before it parted. The priests at the Jordan River did not see the river stop flowing until they set foot in the river. The blind man had to step out in faith and ask Jesus to touch him before he could see. And the paralyzed man's friends had to bring him to Jesus before he could be healed. Each and every time we see a miracle in the Bible, and when we see miracles today, people first had to step out in faith, into the unknown. They had to step off of that proverbial cliff. But the Lord was there. not only to catch them, but to enable them to soar over the difficulties of life. That's why when we as a church face impossible situations, when we have visions of the future that will bring God glory, but that are impossible to do in our own strength, we have to remember to pray in faith and to move forward in faith. As James 2:17 tells us, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. We need to do more than just say we have faith. We need to demonstrate it by stepping out. When the Lord calls us to do something, even if it seems impossible, we need to start doing it even if we don't have everything that we need. Because when we step out in faith, God will make a way where there is no way. Remember, God is big enough to change our direction if we make a mistake, but He won't be able to do anything if we stand still and do nothing. Faith is the only way to access God's power. And when we pray and use God's word and His promises, we can expect the Lord Almighty to do some amazing, supernatural, and miraculous things before our very eyes. It's sad. At least I find it sad that there are many people who go to church on a Sunday morning and they wonder, is God still performing miracles today? From my own personal experience, and from the testimonies of many other believers, the answer is absolutely. God is still in the miracle performing business. So this morning, no matter what some people may tell you, never ever doubt God's power when looking for a miracle. When we truly expect the Lord to do supernatural things, we will be a healthy church, a church that the Lord can and will grow. When you and I gather together, we truly need to have a sense of God's wonder. We need to see miracles happen before our very eyes. And they will happen as we believe God and step out in faith. I would love to have a Sunday morning service when testimony time is called and everybody steps up. Here are some examples of God's miracle working power today, after people stepped out in faith. Several years ago, a pastor in Africa saw firsthand the miraculous power of God's protection. He stood on God's promise found in Psalm 91, which says, "You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways." It was during the tribal wars between the Tutsi and Hutu tribes that he had to stand on this promise and pray. One day in a Christian village in the Congo, Tutsi soldiers broke down the door of this young Hutu preacher's house and were about to slaughter his entire family. "Wait," the preacher begged. "Please allow us a moment to pray before we die." The request was angrily granted, and the family knelt together to pray. In the natural, they expected to hear the shots come, but instead, God did the unexpected. After praying, the family slowly stood up and discovered that the soldiers were gone, not only out of their house, but out of their village, too. Several months later, as the young preacher was telling the story to a church meeting in a nearby town, he heard a voice from the back saying, "I can tell you what happened. I was one of those Tutsi soldiers. I was one of those who broke into your house," he said. "I had your children in the sights of my rifle as you knelt and prayed. But suddenly a tremendous wall of fire surrounded you. We couldn't even see beyond the flames, and we knew that the house would burn down with you in it, so we got out. Then, when we were outside and saw your house engulfed in flames and yet you not being destroyed, we fled out of your village as well. We realized that this was not a kind of fire that we are familiar with, but a fire which was sent from God. And if this is how your God responds, I want to know Him too. I'm tired of the fighting and the killing. That's why I came to church tonight. How about healing? I have an example here written down, but the Lord reminded me of another. Of a testimony that was given several years ago by a doctor in town who was an emergency doctor at the hospital and had a practice in town. His wife was 3 months pregnant, and they gave an ultrasound of the baby and found that the fetus only had half of a brain. The other doctors told him and told his wife that it's probably just best to get an abortion and get it over with because the baby will only die. But as believers in Jesus, they said, no, we will pursue God's will in this matter. He put his faith into action. This doctor, he left his practice, left his work as a doctor, and spent the next 6 months in fasting, in prayer, in studying the scriptures and proclaiming God's word and God's promises regarding healing. All through the pregnancy, they gave his wife ultrasounds and found out that the baby's brain still wasn't developing. But they stood in faith. They stood in God's word. They stood in prayer. When that baby was born, they were surprised that the baby didn't die right away. So the doctors took the child and performed another scan and found that the baby had a perfectly formed brain. And today that child is, I think she's well in her 20s, maybe early 30s, living a completely healthy life. That's the power of God, and I heard that testimony firsthand. There's also miracles of changed lives. In 1833, Charles Darwin went to the South Sea Islands looking for the so-called missing link. As he studied the cannibals who lived there, he concluded that no creatures were more primitive and nothing on earth could possibly lift them to a higher level. He thought that he had indeed found a lower stratum of humanity that would fit his theory of evolution. However, 34 years later, he returned to the same islands. And to his amazement, he discovered churches, schools, and homes which were occupied by these former cannibals. In fact, many of them wore clothes and frequently gathered in church to sing hymns. And the reason was soon discovered. Missionary John Patton had been there proclaiming the truths of salvation. Darwin was in fact so moved by their transformation that he made a generous contribution to the London Missionary Society. And by the way, his missing link remains missing. God also works in financial miracles as well. A few years back, Lake City Church in Madison, Wisconsin, they were only a few days away from having to make their quarterly payment of $140,000 for their mortgage. They didn't have the money. But Pastor John Ruck called the church to pray, and they came together to pray. 4 days later, 5 minutes before the money was due, all the money they needed had been received. Some came from the congregation, but a lot of it also came from people from other parts of the country who called and said that the Lord had spoken to them in prayer to send money to the church. I could go on and on. Even of miracles I have witnessed myself, but it all comes down to this. We serve an awesome, miracle-working God. Let us never doubt him. Instead, let's expect God to do amazing, supernatural things before our very eyes. As we step out in faith to accomplish great things that are way beyond our ability. The answer may not come right away, but whatever happens, we can always trust the Lord to do what is right at just the right time. As we expect God to do supernatural things in our midst, we need to use our faith, step out in faith. And we also need to depend on the power of God's Spirit working in and through each one of us. Do you remember how the Lord used people like Peter, John, and Paul to bring healing to those around them? That's why we need to live lives that are consecrated to God, by staying away from the things of this world which do not honor the Lord and which grieve the Holy Spirit. If we want to be used by the Lord for amazing things, then we need to be focused on being filled with the Holy Spirit, so that he can use us as channels for his miraculous power. Ephesians 5:18 says, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit." The words "be filled" in Greek basically mean keep on being refilled with the Spirit. And we can be refilled as we spend time in Bible study, in worship, in praise, in service, and in prayer. Finally, when looking for a miracle, remember that a miracle can take many forms. We may be expecting God to do things one way, but sometimes the Lord shows up and does it completely differently, which is great. But sometimes a church can lose their appreciation for God's supernatural power because they're ignoring all the ways in which God works. His supernatural power is not limited to how we think the Lord should work. And we've seen God's supernatural power taking many forms around here at times. But we need to expect more by stepping out in faith more and trusting God to do only what God can do. Miracles and wonders drew many believers to the early church. These early believers expected them. And because of them, they were a healthy church which grew. And we should expect the same. We should truly desire that God work powerfully in our midst. Because when people see God at work, they want to be a part of it. Trusting in God, by believing in him for the impossible, will bring this church to a healthy level of faith. And it will attract more people who want to be involved where God's power is evident. So let's focus on this principle of church growth. It is exciting, it is powerful, and it will change our lives and our congregation forever.